News Talk Breakfast. In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
We're joined now by Eoin O'Brien, Sinn Féin spokesperson on housing. Eoin, lots of different issues to get through. But let's start with housing and the government's affordable housing plan that was launched yesterday. You're very critical of it. You probably didn't hear Ciara's argument at the top of the hour, but she was making the point that we need to be realistic about the €450,000 cap on houses in South Dublin. She's saying, look, that's actually kind of a realistic price. And actually, if you do the maths and include the Help to Buy scheme, the figures are just about affordable for people on the average wage, and that this is the real world, not another planet, as you said.
No, in fact, the overwhelming majority of people won't be able to afford those homes because they'll have to bring a mortgage and a deposit to the table for a property of about 300 to 350,000, and that excludes about 80% of households and income earners. The other difficulty with the caps, and in fact, in Dublin City, we learn in the Irish Times this morning that for apartments, the cap is €500,000, it will drive the median house price up towards that. In many cases, the median house price or the apartment price is below. And the caps, for example, in the regional cities are just as bad. So I think the worry that many of us have, and again, there's a whole host of independent commentators in today's newspapers highlighting the same thing, is just as it did in London, where it drove up house prices by 6% and didn't increase supply in areas that most needed it, the same thing will happen here. And who will be the big losers? Hardworking people, both first-time buyers, but also people who might have lost a family home because of relationship breakdown or mortgage repossession after the Celtic Tiger. They will be priced out of the market. So this is a really bad policy, and the only person who doesn't seem to have got that
I'll be totally straight with you. I wouldn't fancy a mortgage of 270,000, which would be what the mortgage would be if you include the buy to help scheme. I suppose Ciara's argument was if you had two average earners, the average earnings in Ireland, I think it's 48,000, slightly higher in Dublin, they could just about afford, they can actually afford a mortgage of 270,000. Now, they'd have to have saved a deposit as well.
Shane, that's less than 10% of the households in the country. The government keeps talking about two average households. Because if you look at the CSO's household income distribution, households with an income of 80,000 or 90,000 gross are in the top 10%. So that means, for example, all of those hardworking people earning gross between them 50, 60, 70, and even pushing up to 80,000 will be excluded. But also remember, the shared equity loan is a loan and it starts to accrue interest from year five. And that means for people who don't pay it down or who can't pay it down in the early years because they're maxed out on their 3.5 times a central bank approved bank mortgage, they will have an accumulating second debt. So they'll have the option of not paying down the shared equity loan. That'll be part of the scheme. So they could get to year 30 in their mortgage. They could have paid down the bank mortgage of, say, 300,000, and that's separate to their deposit. But they'll still have an additional loan. And in some cases, that could be 90, 100, 150,000 when you increase the equity value of the home and the loan. Keeping working families with higher levels of debt didn't work in the Celtic Tiger, and it won't work now. And that's why pretty much across the board, economists, government-backed independent agencies are all saying these kind of supply-side measures, demand-side measures, should I say, don't work. This money should actually be invested.
It is only a ceiling. It is a ceiling, the 450,000. It doesn't mean prices have to be at that level.
It'll become a target, and that's the big worry that many
of us have. Not if no one can afford to buy the houses, though. I mean, the demand will set the price as well.
Here's the one problem. There is no income cap on entry into the scheme. So the other experience from Britain is 60% of the people who availed of the English help or the English shared equity loan scheme actually didn't need it. They had enough money to buy a house in the market. We already know from independent research from the Oireachtas that the help to buy scheme that Fianna Fáil is so enthusiastic about, 60% of the people availed of that didn't actually need it. So the crazy thing about this is there will be people who can already afford a home, but with this will be able to afford maybe a bigger home or a home in a nicer area. And those people who avail of it, who wouldn't otherwise be able to buy, would be saddled with very significant extra debt. And that's bad housing policy.
Okay, let's talk about the ABU voter database system, Sinn Féin's ABU voter database system. Is it not adding insult to injury for the party to say that they will use this in the upcoming Dublin Bay South by-election?
Well, what I said yesterday when I was asked this question on a press conference is obviously we're engaging with the Data Protection Commissioner. There has been quite significant correspondence between our party and that office. Any further recommendations from the DPC, we will implement and implement fully. And our hope is on the other side of that, the system will be operable and we will be able to use it in the by-election. In one way or another, and you know, Shane, I've been fighting elections for 25 years, political parties do what they're allowed to do under the Data Protection Act. They try and elicit information in relation to voting intentions, and they keep a record of that information, whether in paper, whether on constituency databases.
Facebook is king, isn't that the line?
Can I say this? It actually doesn't go further than this. I have intimate knowledge of the system, and obviously the Data Protection Commissioner will get every shred of information that she wants. But all this system does, albeit on a more professional basis, is it enables me, when I'm fighting an election here in Dublin Midwest, to do what I have always done, but just do it in a more professional way. There is no taking information from Facebook or social media. There is no uploading that additional information on the system.
Why did it say that in that document then? Why did it say that then? It actually talked about, it actively encouraged activists to add information on voters.
No, what the sentence was saying, and I have to say, having read the sentence, I think it's very, very badly worded, is that we want to try and move from online engagement with people to in person. So if somebody is engaging with me online around party policy, etc., what I should be trying to do with that person in a very open and honest way is move from the online to the real world. It's not about taking information or uploading that information anywhere. That's actually not possible on the ABU system, because the ABU system is the register and register plus voting intentions. And like I say, lots of other political parties do this at a constituency basis. For years, we did it in paper and pen. And again, obviously, the Data Protection Commissioner is the body who has the legal responsibility to ensure compliance.
If it's so straightforward, why was no one from Sinn Féin out the first week? I mean, everybody went to ground on this. I mean, you don't have to be a conspiracy theorist. You don't have to be a conspiracy theorist to suggest that was because the party was trying to get its story straight in that 6 or 7 days it took for it. We constantly looked for people to come on the show to ask. We couldn't get anyone to talk about it.
Well, two things. First of all, the party commented on it when the story was first raised in the Irish Independent. Within 3 days of the story first being printed, we had people on RT Radio and RT TV. I was at a press conference 5 days after the story. So we've been speaking about this since the very first time it was raised with us. But what I want to say is this, and this is very clear. The central allegation that has been made that the party is eliciting information without people's consent from social media, uploading that onto some fictional database and then using that to micro-target voters is not true, cannot and does not happen. Having said all of that, we take the advice of the Data Protection Commissioner very, very seriously. And if she comes back to us with further recommendations, we will, of course, fully implement those.
I've no doubt about that. Final question on this.
That is the best way to determine what is going on with this system, not wild speculation in a small number of newspapers.
Okay, but the database being based in London and then in Frankfurt, again, and you don't need to be a conspiracy theorist to wonder why the need to have it abroad. And I suppose the obvious explanation to this is because if it had been in Ireland, word would have got out that Sinn Féin is accumulating this information on voters. But if it's in Germany or in London, nobody gives a fig and it's not going to get out.
Well, first of all, the irony is that during the last general election, I had two journalists come round with me on the doors. One was Fionnuala Sheehan of the Irish Independent on the Get Out the Vote Day. And both journalists widely reported on our use of the electoral register on the ABU system. So there's never been any secret about this. We have a legal obligation to ensure that the information is stored securely and safely. We commissioned a company which is a reputable international company that has bases in London and Frankfurt, and they satisfy those requirements. EU data protection law requires that we store this information within the European Union.
It wasn't to keep it out of prying eyes.
No. And again, if it was to keep it out of prying eyes, I wouldn't have taken journalists from the Daily Mail and the Daily Mirror and the Irish Independent around and shown them this over a year ago when it was widely reported. But can I also say this? Like, I actually had a reluctance when some journalists were saying, where is it? It's based. The less potential hackers and fraudsters know about where anybody's secure information is based, the more secure it is. We have always been open about the fact that we do what every other political party does in one form or another with the electoral register. But we have to ensure the data is protected. And if we didn't, the very journalists and political opponents who are criticising us now would be criticising us for not keeping it safe. So I think we've acted in a very prudent manner with respect to where it is stored. We have been fully compliant with the law. But again, any recommendations from the Data Protection Commissioner coming out of our dialogue with our office, we will fully implement.
Eoin Ó Briain, Sinn Féin spokesperson on housing, thank you for talking to News Talk Breakfast.